In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and
ever shall be. When I was in college, I found myself frustrated with one of my friends on more than one occasion, because he would often invite me to go with him someplace, whether it be some errand to the store, to get something to eat, whatever it might be. And I'd often agree to go along, only to discover that there were really, truly several undisclosed destinations that were going to be part of this trip. And so what I think was going to be one thing turned into four or five or six destinations. Thinking I was going on a quick trip, I found myself occupied, a captive audience, along for the ride for hours at a time. And I often found that to be a frustrating experience, not knowing where my friend was going to ultimately wind up going. And I think sometimes, though ultimately we don't share that same frustration, there is a sense of that unknowing and a little bit of frustration that we feel in following Christ. Because after all, many times in our experience of following Christ, we think that Christ is going this way, only to find that Christ is actually leading us that way. It's often the case that we discover time and time again that His ways are not our ways. The wisdom of God doesn't always operate according to the wisdom of this world. And so what our common understanding is often challenged, and Christ gives us a different way to do things or leads us to a place that is completely unexpected. We don't always have a firm grasp on the values of the kingdom of God. And Christ seeks to address that in our life, to give us the values of the kingdom, not to live by the values of this world or the values that we've adopted, but the values of the kingdom of God. And in the gospel text today, the disciples perhaps felt a little like that as well. He addressed it on two fronts. The physical front, he was on the road to Jerusalem, and they didn't know where he was going, and also in the sense of their values. Christ was on the road to Jerusalem, and they were a little afraid. They recognized what had happened in Jerusalem. They recognized he was not widely and openly and enthusiastically received there. The message was received with hostility. They questioned, why are we going back to Jerusalem? Why don't we stay in Galilee where your ministry has been more successful, Lord? It made no sense to them why they were going back to Jerusalem. They were confused at the direction that Christ was going. And so Christ has a frank conversation with them to explain to Jerusalem. He'll tell them plainly. And he tells them his crucifixion is imminent and likewise his resurrection. But that doesn't sink in. Probably because it's not the thing that they wanted to hear at that time. It doesn't sink in, and they don't seem to get it. And in fact, James and John change the subject altogether. They switch gears and want to discuss preferred seating in the kingdom. They envisioned that following Christ was their ticket to greatness, and they were on the ground floor of Christ's startup kingdom. And so they were looking for that preferred place when it finally is the kingdom is inaugurated. We want that preferred seating in the kingdom. But Christ was truly leading them to an unknown place, to the cross. And Christ took this opportunity to teach them the value of humility. They weren't walking in humility. Christ needed to address this. And he says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We too, are Christ's disciples, and we need to follow him wherever he leads us in life. Even when it's not clear to us where Christ is leading us, we need to follow after him. And make no mistake about it, when Christ leads us, it does involve the cross. He always leads us to an experience of the cross in our life. And make no mistake about it as well, following Christ means that we must adopt the value of humility. Following Christ requires that we too become servants. Worldly wisdom has its own plan of what it means to be great and how to get there. And in the kingdom of God, this is all thrown out the window. Greatness isn't discovered by climbing on the back of another on the ascent of the corporate ladder. Greatness isn't determined by how many people serve us. Greatness is discovered through our action of serving. It's not the typical fashion of leadership either. We don't lead by lording it over others, but we lead by example. We lead in the example of servanthood, by serving others. Greatness is found in walking in the footsteps of our Lord, who came to serve and not to be served. We're on this journey of Great Lent that is leading us ultimately to Christ, who is the servant. We've been talking about how Great Lent is a pursuit of God, how we have to actively engage this pursuit of God. And today we must consider how it is in fact a pursuit of Christ, who is the servant. Following Christ the servant requires that we too become servants. We cannot follow the one who is the servant of all if we're not willing to become a servant of all as well. Christ came in humility to serve, and we likewise must take up humility and learn what it is to serve. When it comes to serving, Christ isn't teaching us an abstract concept. Christ didn't teach us something that he had not experienced. He didn't say, "Do what I say," while it remains to see what he does. No, Christ demonstrated what it was to serve by serving, by the action of doing the work of serving others. Christ doesn't call us to do something that he himself does not do. He doesn't call us to do something he's unwilling to do. He calls us, in fact, to do the very things that he did. He calls us to learn from his example and to follow in his footsteps. And this is particularly the case in the whole realm of serving, the walking of humility. We must understand that Great Lent has built into it, in its very mechanism, by its the nature of what it is, it has abundant opportunities for us to pursue humility. Fasting, we might not think of as a way to pursue humility, but in fact, if we diligently practice it, that is what is to be accomplished in our life, because it humbles our will as we walk in the obedience of its call. And it humbles our body as we encounter weakness and we discover that we're not as self-sufficient and strong in and of ourselves as we thought we were. That our bodies are in fact weak, and we're telling our bodies they're not in control. They're not going to make the decisions for us in life. So fasting works in fact to humble our soul. And prostrations are another physical means by which we humble ourselves. We bow before God, and that very act is an act that lends itself to acquiring humility in our hearts. And the practice of forgiveness is something that lends itself to humility. It takes humility to ask the forgiveness of another person. We began this journey of Great Lent with Forgiveness Sunday by having the rite of forgiveness, exchanging forgiveness with one another, asking for your forgiveness and likewise for a mutual exchange of forgiveness. I can't find the words there, but you know what I mean. It's the experience of mutual forgiveness that is, in fact, something that cultivates humility, because it takes that humility. And it's not something that we just do on that day, but it's something that we have to do throughout our life. Throughout this season and every season of the year, asking forgiveness is an act that is appropriate, and it is an act that cultivates humility. And likewise, we can have the opportunity to pursue humility by keeping vigil through prayer and through the services of the church, which is just corporate prayer. The services of this season are a way that we can keep vigil. And by doing this, it's an act of humility, and it's a way to acquire humility. And likewise, the discipline of almsgiving that we're called to in this season is a way to acquire humility. Yes, indeed, we're addressing the need of another person, and there is that factor that we take into account. But it is also something that we benefit from as we acquire humility. Because instead of looking down on somebody who is in need, it calls us to put ourselves on the same level as that person. We humble ourselves. We don't think that we're above another person. We see them on our level, and we're willing to meet that need and give from what abundance God has given us to meet the need. And likewise, serving others is an important another step in pursuing humility. Our Lord came as the servant of all. He came to give his life totally, even offering it up as a ransom for many. And so it is that we must walk in his footsteps. We must stop looking for ways to be served, but rather we need to look for ways to serve others. This is our path. In another context in John's gospel, we hear how Christ washed his disciples' feet. It's the gospel reading that we'll hear in Holy Week, on Holy Thursday. And after doing that act of washing all of the disciples' feet, he told them about the event, what had just transpired and what it meant to them. He instructed them, and I paraphrase, "You call me teacher and master, and it is right and it is fitting, and yet I washed your feet. The servant isn't greater than the master. I have given you an example. Follow that example and wash one another's feet. Take upon yourself the role of serving. See, we may not always know precisely where Christ is leading us in this life, but we do know some things about the journey. We do know that the journey involves a cross. We do know that Christ leads us on a path that involves humility. We do know that Christ leads us by the example of serving, and he calls us into that same role of serving others. And Great Lent is a time for us to pursue Christ, who is the servant of all. We pursue him through humility. We pursue him, by serving others, rather than looking selfishly for ways to get something from other people. Let us humble ourselves and let us consider and look for ways that we can give of ourselves to others. Let us follow in the footsteps of Christ the servant, who came not to be served, but rather to serve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.